Sci-Fri, and it just stands for Science Fridays. You guessed that already. It's the chance to celebrate all that Merseyside has to offer from the world of science, and we have a lot to offer from this part of the world. So sit back, learn from the experts from the School of Tropical Medicine, University of Liverpool, John Moores University, all famous for their know-how and world-leading developments in science and medicine. All happens on our doorstep. Today, my guest is Alistair Craig, the Dean of Biological Sciences from the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. Alistair, good morning to you. Welcome.
Good morning.
You're in today to tell us about an important pilot scheme that's taking place in Malawi, and this could have an effect on, well, many, many millions of people.
Yeah, so we're delighted to be involved in a big project that's just started in Malawi. We'll roll out to Ghana and Kenya in a few months' time. And where we've got to is we've been trying to develop a malaria vaccine for decades and have not been successful for a long time. And then about 10 years ago, we started to see the sort of green shoots of success. And this latest trial, which is a huge trial, which is taking place in these three countries, is the sort of culmination of us trying to understand we've got something we think works in a very controlled environment. Mm. Now let's let it out into the world and see if it actually works.
So when you go from controlled environment out into the world to see how it works, What are the differences there?
So when you do the small, very well-designed study, and that's not to say the new study isn't well-designed, but you control a lot of things. You have lots of input. You make sure that your populations understand exactly what's going on. You're very proactive in making sure that things happen. Mm. In this implementation trial, what you do is you say, these are the sorts of ways that we're going to apply this new vaccine in these communities, and we're not going to take a, you know, make a huge effort to change the standard way in which we do this. And then you actually measure, do people come and have their vaccinations? Do they come for all four vaccinations?
Because that's important, isn't it?
Yeah, so one of the things that the earlier trial showed was that unlike many vaccinations that we have, you have three doses and you're protected. But this one didn't give great long-lasting protection, but we could make it a bit better by adding a fourth immunization about a year later. Right. And that's an odd thing to do. And of course, you then somehow got to make sure that people come in for their standard regimen of vaccines. And this vaccine works in that regimen. But then they need this fourth one about a year later. And so how do you recall people to come in? It's hard enough to do it in an environment where you have really good communication. Trying to roll that out in a low and middle income country, which might not have such good transport and communication links, is, you know, a different thing altogether.
That must be frustrating for you because you've worked so hard, not just you, but the whole of the team as well. And you go, look, we've got an idea. This just might work, but you need to do your part, and then somebody doesn't turn up. I mean, that must be frustrating more than difficult.
It is, but it's actually part of the research. It's about understanding how you work with communities, how you actually get their buy-in, and how you sort of educate them, because this is going to be a funny vaccine. Most vaccines, you know, we get a measles vaccine or something like that, and we're protected for life. You know, that's great, and it works, and we don't get measles. This malaria vaccine is about 30-40% effective. So people who've been vaccinated will still get malaria. So how do we tell people that that's fine? And it doesn't mean that vaccines are bad and that they don't work. It's just that this vaccine, you know, we haven't quite arrived yet. This could save, you know, hundreds of thousands of lives. Mm. So why wouldn't we use it? But it's not the end of the story. We need to do more research. We need to get a better vaccine.
Is it an ongoing battle? I mean, clearly it's an ongoing battle. This. Why is malaria so tricky to deal with?
So the malaria parasite lives with us. We are the reservoir for the malaria parasite. It's one of those odd things. We always think of disease reservoirs as being some nasty, you know, thing that's a rat or something like that that's over there. But actually, we're the reservoir for this pathogen. And so it's learnt to live with us. It knows how we can defend ourselves and has found ways to get around those defence mechanisms.
That's nature, isn't it?
And that's nature. That's the, you know, that's how evolution takes place. We, you know, we up the ante by, you know, getting something which kills the pathogen. And the pathogens that survive are resistant to that killing. And so, you know, the whole thing goes cycle after cycle. Mm. And the vaccine will be the same. You know, after a certain amount of time, it's likely that the parasite will develop resistance to the vaccine.
Will we ever see a time where we've eradicated this?
Yeah, that's one of the difficult things. I think we may not get to eradication. One of the phrases we use is elimination, where we actually get it to a point where we've almost got rid of all disease. It's down to such a low level that, you know, it's something that we can manage and that it's not good to live with.
Yeah.
But trying to get to right to that eradication where you completely remove the malaria parasite from the face of the earth, it's just so difficult to get there that that's almost a target that is one too far.
And the world is changing as well. You know, the climate, you know, some people don't believe it is, but, you know, the scientists do say, well, if you look back, you know, the climate is changing, the world is getting warmer. Does that mean our little nasty friends, the mosquito, they're moving further north? We're finding them in places where we wouldn't normally find them.
They are. They're starting to move into southern Europe. We are lucky in many ways that we have quite a good economic infrastructure, and so we can afford to use measures to control mosquitoes that maybe other communities don't have at their disposal. But no, it's coming in, and maybe we're not seeing it so much in terms of malaria, which was around, you know, maybe a century ago in Europe, but we're starting to see it with some of the other viruses that mosquitoes carry, and there have been outbreaks in Rome and places like that from these things. So yes, this is something which isn't stopping.
Alistair, Sci-Fry always goes over in the blink of an eye. And for me, and hopefully for our listeners too, that's gone over. The last 7 minutes have just gone over in the blink of an eye. But do come in again. It's a fascinating story, and it's an important one as well. But it just goes to show the things that are going on behind closed doors in our city. But good to talk to you, and thanks very much indeed for coming in. There's Alistair Craig, the Dean of Biological Sciences from the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. 9 o'clock news is on the way next.
Local, national and international news from the heart of Liverpool.
BBC Radio Merseyside.
Good morning. It's Friday, the 26th of April. It's 9 o'clock now. Let's get the latest BBC News. Here's Jess Robbins.
Thanks, Tony. Good morning. The family of the BBC's Diane Oxbury will be at a special ceremony today as Merseyside police rename one of their horses after her. The presenter died early this year from ovarian cancer. One of her last pieces for Inside Out was with the Mounted Section. It's being organised by Sergeant Danny Harris, who featured in the film and also attended her funeral on his horse. Daisy will now be renamed Oxbury in tribute to her. Two workers have been injured following an explosion at the Tata Steelworks in Port Talbot in South Wales. It happened at around 3:30 this morning. The company say there was a spillage of liquid iron, but all fires are now under control. Our reporter Jordan Davis is at the scene.
Tata Steel say a train carrying molten metal into one of the works here caused a series of fires. They say there was a spillage of liquid iron. Now they say the fire has been extinguished. Emergency services are still here, but the plant has reopened. They say there's no ongoing hazard to people in the local area. They say all employees have been accounted for.
The UK's top civil servant says ministers must cooperate with his inquiry into the leaking of discussions at the National Security Council. It's after the Daily Telegraph published details of a meeting about the Chinese telecoms firm Huawei. Several cabinet ministers have denied any involvement. More talks could be imminent on restoring power sharing in Northern Ireland. An announcement's expected later. There's renewed pressure to resume the Stormont executive after the murder of the journalist Lyra McKee in Londonderry. The former Everton player Alan Stubbs is urging men to get to the doctors if they have any concerns about their health. It comes as a survey shows nearly a quarter of male van drivers haven't visited their GP at all in the past year. Alan Stubbs only found out about his testicular cancer following a routine drugs test. He said he'd been ignoring his own concerns.
I did feel, you know, something, but I just thought, typical man thing, masculine thing, it'll be okay, it'll go away. I'm afraid to say, and it's quite sad really when I think about it, that I'm not too sure whether I would have went and got it checked by the doctors.
Five conservation projects are being created by Chester Zoo thanks to the money donated after the fire there last year. More than £260,000 was raised following the blaze in the monsoon forest in December. The money will be used in Southeast Asia, where many of the animals housed are from. Dr. Simon Dowell is Chester Zoo's science director.
We'll be actually developing some new projects on species right on the edge of extinction. Things like the bleeding toad from Java, which is down to just a handful of sites in the wild and may well go extinct if we do nothing.
And a track of pure birdsong is being released to raise awareness of a loss of over 40 million birds in the UK in just 50 years. More than half of species in Britain are in decline, but according to a survey from the RSPB, only 16% of people in the northwest know the extent of the problem. In sport, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp says he'll field a strong side in tonight's Premier League match at home to already relegated Huddersfield. Liverpool will go above leaders Manchester City with a win. Next Wednesday, they play Barcelona in the first leg of their Champions League semi-final. Klopp, meanwhile, has praised Mo Salah following his midweek trip to New York City. The striker was attending a gala dinner after being named in Time magazine's 100 Most Influential People of 2019.
Yeah, I'm very proud of that because... people in football, we are obviously a lot on television, in newspapers, stuff like that, and most of the time we don't say really smart things, but Mo is a very smart person and in his role, very influential as well, and so he said a couple of really, really good things and inspired, obviously, some people, hopefully on one side, to overthink a few things, and on the other hand side, he got... other people got aware of him and saw that in the world in a moment. It's very important that you have a voice like Mo's voice. It should not be his first job, obviously, but it's very important that he has still an opinion and makes that opinion public. So.
And your weather, a clear start, but cloud will thicken during the morning with outbreaks of rain spreading in, high of 13 Celsius. And more outbreaks of rain tonight, winds becoming strong and gusty, a low of 7 Celsius. BBC Radio Merseyside News.
Smelly in the morning.